Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read the first three verses. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for those that are gathered here to hear it. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give, and may your Holy Spirit take your word and touch every heart in this room. We ask you to have mercy upon us, for we're needy people, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a very interesting passage with a couple of thoughts that are just tremendous. It says, arm yourself with the same mind that Christ had. How could you do that? The Word of God. All we know about Christ comes from the Bible. We have a few historical passages that have been written by some historians, but what you know about God, what you know about Christ is in the Word of God, the Bible. It's a great teaching. He said, arm yourself with the same mind. You ought to have a mind like Christ. Now, you could take that, and we could preach on a whole lot of different of the characteristics of the mind of Christ, the will of Christ. But I want to look at two things. There's a statement in two phrases in chapter 2. The lusts of men and the will of God. The lust of men and the will of God. Now, Paul is telling you in verse 3, he said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. He's saying up to this point right now, you've lived in these lusts of men, what the Gentiles live for, all of your life. And that's enough. That's enough. It's time to change it over and live in the will of God. Now, I've been asked, I don't know how many times, like I said, I've been preaching 54, 55 years. And people always asking me, is this the will of God? They ask me if the girl they're dating, is that the will of God? They ask me if they're supposed to go to the mission field. And they say, Brother Kincaid, how do you know the will of God? And then they will come up with some excuse to go partying, drinking, dancing, whatever. And they say, well, I don't want to be out of the will of God. How far can I go to not be out of the will of God? So people are always interested in the will of God, at least they have been over my lifetime. I've heard many of an insecure young person or an older person that would come up and say, I want to know what is the will of God and how can I know? What I want you to know right here is a very clear example of how you can know the will of God. He says right here, and he has the phrase there, but to the will of God, but right before it says, in the flesh to the lusts of men. The lusts of men and the will of God are opposite. They're not alike. I'll tell you for sure, if you're living in your lust, whether it's sexual, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual, whether it's playing around, I don't care what it is, if you're living in your flesh, you're not living in the will of God. And when God came and saved you, He didn't just forgive your sins. He entered into your soul and He wants to bring you into His will. You got to recognize what it is. Some of the things we do, it's just what all the Gentiles do. The problem with us today is that we're all living this lax, pleasure-filled, comfortable life. We're not interested in sacrifice. We're not interested in worship. We're not interested in the souls of men. We're interested in how we can satisfy our lusts, our pleasures. The same things that all the Gentiles do. He said, for the time past, our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Now listen. When we walked in lasciviousness, that's sexual lust. And then there's all kinds of other lusts. Excess of wine. Revelings. Hey, that's your party time. You a party person? Well, you better watch out. That party might not be in the will of God. That reveling, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not in the will of God according to the Word of God. You have the lust of men and you have the will of God, and they're opposite. They're not the same. So we need to think about that somehow if you want to be in the will of God, and that's where God wants you. You know the reason why He put the Holy Spirit in you and the reason why He gave you a Bible to read? So you could find out His will. Billy was talking this morning about this book reveals God. It does. It's the clearest revelation of God there is. Nature is a tremendous, wonderful revelation of God. I look out and look at the stars and know that was made and know that God is above and beyond it, and this is just a little blip in time in God's eternity. No matter we think of our 70 years or Adam's 930 years or Methuselah's 969 years, just a little blip. It's just a blink of an eye as far as God is concerned. So 1,000 years is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years in God's sight. You and I live in this time-space thing, and God wants to change our life. Now, we ought to be preaching that. We ought to be reading the Bible every day and just seeing if God doesn't speak to us. Now, I've heard people talking about God speaking to them. I've sat in the room with them when they told me how God sat right over there on the couch and talked to them, whatever. I didn't believe them. I didn't believe them. But I tell you, God's spoken to me. Open this book and read it anywhere. I just finished rereading the book of Job yesterday morning. And I, of course, that was the last parts of it, and that's where God's speaking. But do you know what? A whole lot of what all those comforters of Job said was right. Except it didn't fit Job's case. Oh, it was great truth. It didn't fit Job's case. Now, God had made an example out of Job. God had used him as a soldier in a spiritual battle, and none of us want to go through what Job had to go through. I know some of you may think you're a first cousin to Job. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know of anybody that's ever suffered more than the man we know as Job. And God said, Job was right. You guys were accusing him wrong. Think about it. As I read that, I was using a Bible that I don't generally mark in. But I had to take my pen and mark in that Bible. 2 verses. I don't know how many times I've read them, but those 2 verses, they spoke to me. I said, wow, that's good. Isn't that clear? What he said right there was a beautiful thing. You read your Bible, if you just read 3 chapters a day, 5 chapters a day, it's not that much. But you go over it and over it and over it, and sometimes something, though you've read it before, stands out. And you get a thought you can't get rid of for a month. You get a thought that touches your heart and changes your life, and you say, I'm going to do things different. You learn the mind of God. You learn the will of God. And if you learn the will of God and the mind of God, and if you really have it, it will not lead to the lusts of men. It will not lead to lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. And if you're in any one of that list right there, and that's what you're practicing today, you're out of the will of God. Look also at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or as supreme, or under governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. God doesn't want you losing your temper and cussing out your neighbor. God doesn't want you fighting, always going up to the school and fighting them over everything that's going on at the school. God doesn't want you out there bad-mouthing the president of the United States because you don't agree with him. He's your president. He's my president. Whether I voted for him or not makes no difference. He's my president. Going to be there for a couple of more years. I pray for him. I pray for him. I pray that he will be touched by God to make the right decisions, that this country will be safe, that he'll be wise and turn the economy around and people can have jobs. I feel for somebody that's out of work. If you're out of work, I'm sorry for you. I feel for you. You notice what it said here? He said, fleshly lust which war against the soul. We give all sorts of excuses for all of our fleshly lust, and all of us have them. But he says it war against the soul. You're a spiritual person and you're a fleshly person. I've heard people talk about the body as the flesh machine. Well, it's got a mind, it's got a heart, it's got a soul. And that soul is warred against. Your spiritual life is at war with your fleshly lusts. Your fleshly lust will turn off the light of the Spirit of God. Your fleshly lust will dim the light. It will stand in the way. You won't be able to do what you want to do. You won't be able to build what you want to build if you live in your fleshly lust. Fleshly lust, war against the soul. Now notice, verse 10 says, honest among the Gentiles. Honest. Do you know what? Honesty is a real good characteristic. It's a good thing to have. Now, you can get in trouble being honest, because sometimes it's really hard when somebody asks you certain questions. You really want to tell a great big lie. And even if you get a little white lie out, why? Honesty. You know, that's a beautiful thing. I saw the other day where they came out with $100,000 in a briefcase. Really was. A real $100,000 in a briefcase. And they gathered somebody on the street corner and said, this is $100,000 in here. Would you watch it for me? I've got to go over here and they're going to see if anybody steal it. Nobody did. I think that's great. What a temptation. What could you do for $100,000? You could buy one pickup. You'd get a small house. You can get a small trailer, motorhome. Some of the bigger ones are a lot more than $100,000. Honesty, the beautiful thing. I like to know somebody will tell me the truth. That they're not afraid to say something to me because they want to hurt my feelings or because it might not be what I would want to hear. Honesty. Man, God is honest with us. He gives us a revelation of what's in us. He tells us what's going to happen in the future, and he warns us that if we go down certain paths, we're going to pay certain prices. You talk about getting wise, read this Bible, you'll be wise. Go to college and get you a doctor's degree, you'll probably be dumb. If they can take the Bible out of your hand. Now, if you can go to college and get you that doctor's degree or two or three doctor's degree and make good money and still believe the Bible, go for it. If it cuts out your believing of the Bible, throw it away. Don't care who it is. He said, honest among the Gentiles, and they're going to speak evil of you as evildoers. I've had that happen many, many times. People accuse you. People look for something. Remember Daniel, the story of Daniel? They pass a law they know contradicts Daniel's religion. And they have their spies peeping and watching, waiting to see him pray. What does he do? Did he quit praying? No, he just prayed anyway. But that's what people do. They speak evil of you when they don't like what you do or what you stand for. If what you stand for cuts them, hurts them. Notice what he said in that verse 12. They may by your good works glorify God in the day of visitation. They may not glorify God right here on this earth, but when the time comes, when we all stand before God, they're going to stand and say, yes, I saw his good works. Yes, I saw his honesty. Yes, I saw how committed he was to God. Yes, I saw him take a stand where it hurt him. And he still stood. And God's going to be glorified by that. Maybe not in your lifetime. Maybe not that you will see. But that's what God said, and I believe him. I believe there's a day coming when every one of us is going to stand before God. And the world needs to see your works. You're not supposed to be hiding everything under a bushel. Now, I was raised in a different generation than this. We were not supposed to brag on ourselves. If I'd have went jumping around when I made a tackle and did all of this like that, my coach would have kicked my rump. You made a tackle, that's what you're supposed to do. Big deal. You made a touchdown, don't go dancing around like some stupid dance down the thing. And by the way, to get a job. Resumes. Today, you gotta almost lie about yourself to get the job. In my day, you were supposed to be humble. Well, I'm not all that good, but I'll give you my best. Well, you know. You know, I can say, I am the best salesman you've ever had. I'm going to have your job in 5 years. They behold your good works. Then he said in verse 15, for so is the will of God. You've been praying about, how can I know the will of God? You got a question in your mind about anything today? What is the will of God? Well, look right here. We got an answer. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do you answer things? Well-doing. How do you answer your enemy? Pray for him. Jesus gave it to you. Paul gave it to you. The Bible gives it to you. Proverbs gives it to you. Well-doing. Not we fight back and forth or we get in an argument at night and shoot each other like people do when they're drunk. Shoot your own brother. Shoot your own father. Well-doing. Well-doing. By well-doing, we answer the world's accusation against us by well-doing. Just an example, and it's an example I read in a book from Watchman Nee years ago. There were Chinese Christians. In fact, there were a lot of Chinese Christians before the communists went into China. A lot of them. There were Chinese Christians, and they watered their rice fields that were on like hillsides. And they had over the years put them out. And they would water at the top, and then they would let it out to the next field down, and so on and so forth. And they carried that water up by hand. There were some Christians that had the upper fields at this one place. And the people in the town, some of them didn't like them. So they would wait till the Christians had carried that water up there and watered their field. And they'd go up there and cut a hole in the dike so the water would flow down on their field. And he did it several times. Well, the Christians didn't take them to court. The Christians didn't go out and fight them. They didn't go out and tear up their fields. They decided they would water their field first before they watered their own field. Some people got saved because of that. Some people said, wow. Wouldn't it be nice to surprise somebody with well-doing instead of cussing? Oh, I know you get mad enough. All those cuss words are still in my head. I grew up in San Antonio, and I knew how to cuss in Spanish. But I didn't know anything else. I used see, know, and cuss words. I knew what you were calling me, and I knew what I was calling you. They're still there. I knew how to cuss in English. They're still there. I was really afraid to go into an operation because I didn't know what I would say. Because you make me mad, I'll tell you what I think. No, I won't. I won't tell you what I think. Because sometimes those cuss words come up to there and I have to put a real bite on them to keep them from coming out here. Anybody got my problem? With well-doing, what do you do? What is the will of God? That you might do well. Not that you might do bad, not that you might be successful, not that you might have a lot of money, not that you might become famous, not that you're the greatest dunker of the basketball in the world. God's will is that you do well in your reaction to the beloved believers and your reaction to the world around you. The people that live on your block ought to know certain things about you. I got robbed a bunch of times years ago when my girls were still young and in the house. You know when they robbed me? Sunday night and Wednesday night. Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why? My neighbors knew where I was on Sunday night and Wednesday night. They knew I would not be home. None of my family would be home. We'd all be in church. Well, I sent Verlene out. I was working, busy. And I said, I want you to get the biggest, meanest, ugliest dog you can get. And she brought me Big Red home. I was never robbed again. In fact, one night Red was barking at about midnight, and I was so disgusted with him. Red, come on back over here to my bedroom, and now you just shut up. You're keeping all the neighbors awake. And he did. He shut up. Next morning, Eddie came over to visit me and found a 45, Colt 45, in my lung. He scared the daylights out of a guy so that he dropped his gun. And it was a stolen gun. Because I said, gave it to Eddie. I said, Eddie, go sell it. So he went and sold it, and the police came up and said, that's a stolen gun. He had to go through all this rigmarole. You know? He wants you to do well and not do mean. That's right. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I have had some people tell me some stories, and they would tell me that God told them that and it was God's will. And I'm sorry, I'm a little skeptical. I like a chapter and a verse. I really don't like what God told you. Because I'm just not real sure you talk to God any better than I do. And He mostly speaks to me through this book. Sometimes I get impressions in my mind and I think they're from God. But, nevertheless, look at Ephesians 6:6. He's talking about serving. And he said, not with eye service as men pleasers. You know them. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Till you turn your back. They're the hardest workers around. When the foreman's there, when he leaves, they sit down. They let other people do the work for them. Yeah, men pleasers. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. God's looking at your heart. And I want you to know, it's not enough for you to do the will of God with your hands. That's not enough. God wants you to love doing it. God wants you to praise Him doing it. God wants your heart into His will. You want to please Him? You know, see that old woman back there with white hair? She's old. But I love her. I'm not as old as she is, but I love her. She robbed the cradle. I didn't. I had to get permission to get married. She didn't. She's the luckiest woman in the world. I love her. I take her out to eat rather than her having to cook for me. I'd rather have her cooking. But I take her out to eat. I buy her things. I try to ask what she wants. And I would really like to please her. I really would like to please her. It is a disappointment to me when I find out I have not pleased her. How about God? Do you have any relationship with God at all? Do you talk to Him on a daily basis in prayer? Do you read His Word and let Him talk to you? Do you know what His will is? And are you embarrassed when you don't fulfill His will? Are you ashamed when you don't fulfill His will, when you do not please Him? And when you do it just so you can say you've done it, or you do it because you want to do it from the heart? We dated 2 years in high school and been married 56 and a half years. That's almost 59 years. And she had me right away. When I was 16, I knew who I wanted to marry. She just didn't. Fickle woman. He says right here, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, not to man, knowing that whatsoever, listen to this verse, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether be bond or free. You do good things to your neighbor, you do good things to your family, you do good things to the church, you do good things to the lost, you live from your heart, and I tell you what, you're not going to lose. The Bible says, he that giveth to the poor lendeth to the Lord. You're not losing money when you help some poor person out. You're not really hurting yourself. You're helping yourself in eternity. Because God's going to pay back all the good. What He's going to do. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You don't know the will of God? God's pretty plain. We got a concordance and figure it out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Well, I'll tell you what, in the world you're living in today, and your kids are growing up today, and you're watching on television today, and you're watching in movies, and you're reading in books today, and what you're seeing on the news every day, that's not the will of God. I know some of you cannot understand me. A few of you old people can. When I grew up, girls weren't like girls are now. Oh, boys have always been nasty and ugly. Lustful. Always had to fight that. But the girls weren't so easy. From what I see, and the people that we've even had to discipline out of this church because they're going to live in sin in front of everybody, this is one adulterous generation. They live in fornication. They glory in their fornication. Well, things have changed. You ought to walk to please God. What Paul's saying, you ought to walk to please God. Well, how can I do that? By sanctification. Being made a saint. Now, I know there's sanctification a couple of ways. One way is the minute Christ died on the cross of Calvary and I received that, I was sanctified, set apart, holy to God. But there's also a sanctification that comes in growth. When I got saved, I smoked and drank, gambled and cussed. But when I got saved, I quit those things. Some of them easier than others. But we quit. Why? Because I didn't want to displease God. He'd just forgiven me of all my sins. He just saved my soul. He just took a load off of me. One of those miracles he was talking about, that in a moment, a tremendous change, he changed my life. Wow. Nobody had ever been able to do that before. But he did. You ought to walk to please God. How do you do that? This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. What is the will of God? That you steadily become closer to him. That you grow in his grace to the point people can see God in you. That you live in such a way that people will know that man's been changed. There's something different about that woman. That girl. That girl in Columbine, Colorado. She was the number one target for those two guys. Because she was an outstanding Christian. What do they know about you? Is that what they know about you? Do they know, do they think you're one of the guys that just goes with the buddies? I used to be a full-time evangelist. For 3 years, I preached a lot more revivals than that, but for 3 years, I was a full-time evangelist going church to church to church across the United States. One church, it was a small church, and the pastor worked, and so he had me visit with the deacons of the church. And this one deacon, I was going with him, and we went to his buddy's house. Trying to get him saved. He didn't profess to be saved. I began to witness to him, took out my Bible. And then as I'm making my plea with him for him to repent of his sin and trust Christ, I said, your friend here is saved and wants you to be saved too. And he laughed at me. We get drunk every Saturday night together. You talk about knocking the wind out of my sails. I told him, I said, well, if he's going to go to hell as a hypocrite, you don't want to follow him. But when we walked outside the door, I said, I'm never visiting with you again. And I'm going to tell your pastor. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I was sick to my stomach. Here's a deacon in the church. He's a deacon in the church. He's a leader in the church. They look up to him and he's going out and getting drunk with his buddy on Saturday nights. That's not the will of God. Don't tell me you're in the will of God and you're serving God and doing God's work if that's the kind of life you're living. If that's the kind of life you're living, you'd repent and get saved. Let the Holy Spirit come into your heart. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Not like the rest of the world. This world is going to hell. The majority of Americans are probably going to go to hell. The majority of people who call themselves Christian are going to hell. I would say the majority of preachers today, even in this country, are going to hell. They've never been born again. They don't even know what the Bible says about it. And what the Bible does say, they don't believe it. Let me tell you what, Jesus Christ changes your life. And if he hasn't changed it, you better go back and do it over. I heard of one man in the old days that went to the front 85 times before he got assurance that he was saved. Somebody laughed. Why, good night. Hey, if it takes 120 times, make it. There's nothing more important that your soul is saved. And I know all of us let the Lord down every day. I let the Lord down. You let the Lord down. I know how to repent. I know how to confess that I'm not right. I know how to confess that I didn't do this or I didn't do that. And that's what I do. Sometimes some of the things I confess, I say, Lord, here I am again. I'm ashamed to be here again, but here I am again. Forgive me. He said, if I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me of all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I take Him up on it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I try to live by these verses, I really do. They are my goal. My goal in life. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Oh, I got a lot of sad things in my life. I hear a lot of sad things. You would not believe what a preacher that preaches the gospel can hear in 50-something years. I got things, I don't tell my wife these things, she can't handle them. I keep her depressed all the time. I don't tell her what people tell me. I want to rejoice evermore. You know what is the will of God? Rejoice evermore. Now you may be in heaviness today. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've just lost your loved one. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've just been told you had cancer or diabetes or you're going to go blind. I don't know. And yes, there is a time for crying. Look at the Psalms. There are a lot of crying Psalms. What God's will is for you is you to believe God well enough you could rejoice evermore. And then He says, pray without ceasing. Well, I can't just spend my time home 24 hours a day praying. He didn't say stay home. He said, pray without ceasing. I can pray driving down the automobile at 70 or 80 miles an hour. I can pray driving 20 miles an hour through a school zone. I can pray, and I do pray many times even when I'm talking to somebody. You can too. Pray without ceasing. We ought to do more prayer. More prayer we do, maybe the more help we could be. Maybe we'd get some victory over some of the things that we don't have victory over. Pray without ceasing. And then He said this tremendous verse, in everything, give thanks. Now notice, you want the will of God? For this is, you know English? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It means I can trust God. I can trust God with the disappointments of this flesh machine, with my body. And bless your heart, all of us have our problems. You can't get out of this world alive. Well, some of these faith healers teach you nobody would ever die if they had faith. But you're going to die, so I guess your faith's going to fail somewhere. No, 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 no. You trust God. I'm going to die, and I know it, but by the grace of God and the promise of this book, I'm just going to step into His presence. It may be a very painful experience for my flesh body, but boy, it's going to be a wonderful experience for my spirit, my soul. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He didn't say for everything here. There's another verse for that. I won't go there today, but in everything, in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of your fears, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you ought to turn to Matthew chapter 7, I want to read verse 24 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 7. It's a story Jesus told about men building their houses. Look what this verse 24 says. I'm not going to tell the whole story. I will some other time. Therefore, after he's told the story, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and every one of you that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the same thing happened to the house on the sand that happened to the house on the rock. Do you know what he's not doing? He's not telling you how to build houses. He's telling you how to build a life and a family. He's telling you how to build a church. He's telling you how to have a wonderful marriage that'll last 60 years. He's telling you how to live a life and pick someone that'll be a pleasure to you in your life. There are no perfect men. There are no perfect women. Every one of us has to put up with something. I'm still putting up with something from her, and I love her. But I have to put up with her. She doesn't have to put up with anything from me. But I have to put up with things from her. No, what is he telling you? You want a house that can take the storm? You want a house that can take the storm? Down on the Pacific coast of Mexico, they have these stick houses. They're just sticks, and they've just wound stuff through them. You can see right through them. You know, they got gaps like this. They're not stuck up with mud. It's hot. They're down on the coast. And their roof is grass. When a hurricane comes, it just disappears. Big deal. 1 or 2 days, you can build another one. You know what I want in my house? When rains come, I don't get wet. When the ice comes, I don't get cold. When the heat comes, I don't get hot. And I lay down at night and think somebody's got to break a window or break a lock to get into me tonight. Safety. What do you want your life to be like? What do you want your life to be like? Well, I'll tell you what. It's real simple. You build your life on the Word of God, the sayings of Jesus, and you can withstand anything. History's proven it. There's a story of martyrs or after martyrs in life. You and I don't see that today. It's going on around the world right now, but you and I, praise God, I'm happy I'm an American. I'm thankful I was born in Texas. I'm thankful I had Christian parents. I'm thankful somebody prayed for me. I'm thankful somebody witnessed to me. I'm thankful for all the blessings I have. You want a good life? Even here in America, you want a good life anywhere in the world, live by the sayings of Christ. You'll be a wise man. Oh, the same rain is going to fall on you, the same hail, the same lightning, the same storm, the same hurricane and tornado is going to hit your soul. But if you got your house built on the words of Jesus Christ, it'll stand. It'll stand. My friend, if you don't, you can walk out here and say, that old man's crazy. You can go out here and say, well, he's so old-fashioned, I don't want to listen to him. I want to get me a modern preacher. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to sow my own oats. You know, farmers, what they sow, they generally reap. You sow your wild oats, you're not going to get corn. You sow wild oats, you're going to reap wild oats. And let me tell you something else about farming that sometimes you don't think about. They sow a lot less seed than they reap. The harvest is always bigger than the seed. You're going to reap a whole lot more than you want to reap by your wild oats. You can build your life on the words of Christ, the words of God, or you can build your life on the rest of the philosophies of the world. You can build them on Hollywood. You can set up as a standard the basketball and baseball players, and you'll lose. come down the line 10, 15 years ago, it may not even be that long, you'll lose. And you'll lose big time. One more verse. Look at 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing, here's the will of God, not willing that any should perish. That's you. Not willing that any should perish. That's you. You can write your name in there. God does not want me to perish, and you'll be right. But that all should come to repentance. That works for Christians too. Works for lost people. If you're here and you don't know Christ, you're here and you're really not saved. Repentance is saying, I don't like what I am. Forgive me, Lord, for being what I am. Forgive me of these sins, and if you can list them out, fine. Or you can just say, forgive me of this stupid sin nature that I have within me. And you come to him, he's not willing that any should perish. I don't think people get saved by reason. I don't think they get saved by formulas. This proves this, this proves that, this proves this, this proves that. I think people get saved when they're in trouble. When they have a heart that's not at rest. When they've got guilt for doing something wrong. People scoff at foxhole professions. Bless your heart, if I was in a foxhole and bullets were going over my head, I'd be praying to God. Any of you been there, you prayed to God. Atheists pray to God in foxholes, by the way. What if? Maybe. The thief on the cross, he's facing eternity. He's dying for his sins. He is a thief, maybe a murderer. He's dying in his sins. And he turns to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to be really disgusted with what you are and how you've lived and some of the things you've done, and you want to get them clean. People respond because of need. That's why I responded. I didn't decide to serve God to help God out. I was very selfish. I called upon God because I was scared of hell, and I figured that was just exactly where I was going. And God saved my soul and took the burden off my shoulders, changed my life, and I'm still jumping up and down. Not very high, but I'm still jumping up and down. He changed me. Praise God, he changed me. He'll change you. Man or woman, boy or girl. Old or young, it makes no difference. He said, if you come unto him, he'll not cast you out. Why don't you come to Jesus? My Christian friend, I have no doubt I have rung your bell just a few times. If God's spoken to your heart, don't ignore the Savior of your soul, the King of eternity, your Creator. He moves in mysterious ways in the hearts of men and women. And people get changed on a decision in a moment of time. And this is your time. Now is the time. You only live in the now. No tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, it's today. As far as I'm concerned, eternity is just going to be a continual today. We live in the eternal presence of God. Time and space will be gone. But today's your day. Right now is your time. Let's stand and sing a special.